Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we want to continue our discussion of what it means to have the life of God in you. Eternal life. We've been working on this for a number of weeks, and we still have several more weeks to go. We talk a lot on this broadcast about learning to see reality as it truly is. Reality is the way things really are according to God. And our goal is to learn to walk in the light of the way things really are, and then demonstrate the will of God in our lives. Really, it's another way of saying getting your mind renewed. When your mind is renewed, you learn to see things the way they really are according to God, and then you demonstrate the will of God in your life because you're in agreement with Him. And part of seeing reality as it truly is involves seeing God as He truly is and ourselves as we truly are in relation to Him, so that we can live in a way that brings glory to Him and victory to us. And that's what we're focusing on right now, what we truly are in relation to Him because we're born again. This is reality. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you are born of God. You now have something in you, in your spirit, that was not there before you believed on Jesus. You have eternal life in you. Eternal life is not live forever life. Eternal life is the uncreated life of God, the life in God, the being and substance of God. John 1:4 says, "In Him is life." There's life in God. God is life. And His life is the light of man. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the life." Eternal life is not live forever life. You were going to live forever before you knew Jesus. You were simply going to live in hell. But now, through the new birth, you have received the life that's in God Himself. When a person believes on Jesus, acknowledges Him as Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit unites that person, His spirit. We are spirit, soul, and body. Our spirit is united to the life in God. We've said this already a number of times, but I'm going to repeat it. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Believeth in right there has the idea of believe into. When you believed on Jesus, you actually believed into Him. The Holy Spirit united you to the life that's in Jesus. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 says, "And this testimony is that God has given us eternal life. And this life is given through union with His Son." Through uniting us to the life in Jesus, God gives us the very life that He has in Himself. Three word pictures are used in Scripture to describe the believer's relationship to Christ. And all three depict union and shared life. Vine and branch is used in John 15 to describe our relationship to Jesus. Head and body is used in Ephesians chapter 1 to describe our relationship to Jesus. And husband and wife is used in Ephesians chapter 5. Vine and branch, head and body, husband and wife. All three pictures show union. A vine and a branch are united. A head and a body are united, and a husband and a wife are united, and all three pictures show shared life. Those word pictures are given to help us see what is true about us now that we're in union with Christ. That's reality as it truly is. That's what we truly are in relation to Him, united to Him and partaking of His life. And whatever is in that life is in us, because that life is in us. This life is a present tense possession. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12 says, "He that hath the Son hath life." If you have the Son, you have eternal life. You have the life that's in the Son, the uncreated life, the substance and being of God in Him is in you now because you're in union with Him. He who has eternal life, he who believes has eternal life in union with Jesus, through that union. Excuse me. Now, God created men and women with the capacity to receive His life into their spirit, into their innermost being. That's what the new birth is all about. That's what being born again is all about. Jesus said in John 10:10 that He has come that we might have eternal life and have it more abundantly, or have it to overflow. We've made the point that Jesus came to bring us an abundance of God's life. That verse is not really talking about the quality of our lifestyle in this life. I do believe it's God's will that we have the best life possible in this life, and I believe He'll help us to do that. But that's not what that verse is talking about. That verse is talking about Jesus coming to bring us an abundance of the life in God Himself. See, back in John chapter 3, we said this last week, I believe, if you look up every time John makes reference to the life that comes to us through faith in Christ, it's talking about eternal life as opposed to the quality of our lifestyle. It's talking about the life we receive, the uncreated eternal life that we receive when we believe on Jesus. You may recall Jesus had a conversation with a Pharisee named Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And in that chapter, Jesus said men must be born again to see and to enter the kingdom of God. To be born again literally means to be born from above. And in this conversation with Nicodemus, Jesus makes it clear that He's not talking about a natural birth or natural life, but He's talking about a supernatural event accomplished by the Spirit of God. Let me just read a little bit in John chapter 3. Nicodemus came by night, and because he probably was afraid to come by day because the Jewish leadership was very upset by Jesus and the challenges He was making to their religious system. And he said, Nicodemus said to Jesus, nobody could do what you do unless God was with him. Now Jesus answered in verse 3, let me start reading, and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, born again there in the Greek is literally born from above. Except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. A lot in that we're not going to address. But notice, Jesus is clearly making it clear to Nicodemus. He's not talking about something natural. Nicodemus is thinking natural. What do you mean, Lord? I can't go back into my mother's womb and come out again. What are you talking about? Jesus is talking about a birth from above, a birth accomplished by the Spirit of God. Literally being born not of the flesh, natural birth, but of the Spirit. Now, we've made this point all along. Christianity is not a belief system or a code of ethics. I'm not denying that there are specific tenets we must believe as Christians, and there are certain behaviors we must practice as Christians, but Christianity is first and foremost supernatural. It is a living, organic union between God and man through Jesus. You see, as Christians, we get way more than forgiveness of sins. We get a new nature. The entrance of eternal life into our spirit produces a tremendous transformation in our spirit. The scripture says we were dead in our trespasses and sins. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, we were dead. We were alive physically, but we were cut off from or lacking eternal life, the life of God in our spirit. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 goes on to say that we're now alive. We possess the life of God in our spirit. By our first birth, we were born into a fallen race, and from our great-great-granddaddy Adam, we inherited a sin nature. We were unholy, unrighteous, children of the devil, sinners by birth, by our first birth. I'm not reading verses because we've read them all in previous weeks, but you can look them up. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10 says there's two groups, children of God, children of the devil. Romans chapter 5, verse 19 says that through Adam's sin, we were made sinners. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3 says we were by nature objects of God's wrath through our first birth. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says we were unrighteous. There was none righteous. But now we partake of God's nature. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says through what Jesus has done for us, we are partakers of God's nature. God's nature is life. In him is life. John chapter 5, verse 26 says, for as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. Our spirit has been transformed, and we said in previous weeks, the transformation of our spirit through the new birth is the beginning of a process of transformation that's eventually going to change every part of our being and conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. This life didn't come into your soul, your mind, and your emotions. This life did not come into your body, but it's God's desire that in this life we learn to live by the uncreated eternal life of God in our spirit, and the effects of it show up in our soul in the form of peace, joy, patience, love, all the fruits of the Spirit, and that the effects of that eternal life in our spirit show up in our physical body in the form of physical health, healing and health, and strength for service. Eternal life in our spirit will enable us to walk as Jesus walked when he was on the earth. That's the standard of behavior for Christians. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 says, if any man says he abides in Christ, he ought to walk as Jesus walked. We need to learn to walk or conduct ourselves in the light of the life of God in us so that we can have outward demonstrations of the life within. And this week we want to talk more about how that happens. More tomorrow.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison, at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.